Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Jason Barsky Show.
We've talked a few times here over the course of the past few months. First started when these lung diseases started popping up in people who were vaping. Now, since then, news came out that there was a vitamin E acetate that was used as a cutting agent in the vape juice, and it was on these like off-market products, different than what you'd get at like a local vape shop. We then again talked about the fact that President Trump was considering banning all flavored vape juices and what that would do to the local economy, and how this war on vaping, as some were calling it, could lead to a political problem for President Trump. As it turned out, the FDA ended up putting out making some changes, and I just want to get to some of the details here from Matt Llewellyn, owner of Lean Back Vapes. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
No problem. Is it possible to get off speakerphone? Are you able to or no?
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot has happened since we first talked. The president at one point considered banning all vape juices. Your hope, because you were okay with a compromise, but if I remember correctly, your hope was that flavored vape products, like pre-manufactured vape products, would be banned from being sold in places like gas stations and convenience stores, correct?
Sure. That was my hope, my selfish hope, where the actual vape industry itself wants these to be available anywhere someone can buy a pack of Marlboros. That way people want to quit, go to a local convenience store that day, they decide not to buy a pack of cigarettes. So that's my selfishness, saying I just want it in vape shop so I can get all the business.
Well, okay, so you are you're being honest there. The A couple of things have happened since we last talked here, and I wanted to know how they affected your business. I did see a Facebook post on your Facebook page the other day talking about how a 20-year-old came into your shop to buy, vape products, was it the new year when they upped the age to 21? You can't buy any vape or cigarette or tobacco products until you're 21
years old. A couple days ago, kid, I guess, under 21's a kid now, came in and asked for some juice, and he was holding his ID in his hand. So right there, he had a look on his face like he expects to get denied. And I asked him what kind of juice he would like, and then it occurred to me, let me ask for the ID before I go any further. And he was only 20, and I said, I'm sorry, I cannot sell to you anymore because you're not 21. And he just gave me that deflated look as he turned around and walked out, like he tried somewhere else maybe before me. You're talking about somebody who may have legally started smoking at 18, decides to switch to a vaping product at 19 maybe, and now at 20 years old, what's he going to do with his nicotine addiction? Quit cold turkey? So
what are the options there? I mean, people, are the rules as strict as they are with alcohol? Like, I'm pretty sure if I were to go in and buy like a case of Bud Light or whatever and give it to a 20-year-old, I could get arrested, right?
Sure.
If I were to go in and buy vape juice from you and then go and give it to him, not sell it to him, just give it to him, is that, because I know years ago when it was 18, you'd have some parents would buy their kids underage cigarettes, and the parents didn't get in trouble for that, did they?
Back then they may not have, but with everything being politically correct these days, geez, you can't even spank your child. So I'd imagine there's going to be some penalties for anyone getting caught doing that, sure.
I'm just wondering if there's a way, because I feel like, I wish that we lived in a world where nobody had any vices, but we live in a world where people have vices, and that was my whole defense, and it's funny that we've actually connected, because I'm not pro-vaping, I'm just pro-not smoking for a lot of people. Like, I just know people who have used vape products to get off of cigarettes, and we both discussed the fact that if someone came in and said, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do anything, but I like this idea of vaping, hook me up, get me on this product, you were like, you try to talk him out of it because you don't want to get someone.
I don't want to get you hooked on an addiction if you don't already have one.
Let me go back though just real quick. How has this this tobacco rule, 21 plus only, how has that affected business, and have you talked to other local shops and how are they dealing with it? I mean, you're dealing with it, but is it going to affect the business, and if so, how much?
I would say most shops. Well, I don't know most shops. I know our shop because we really aren't that big yet, It's probably going to be about 5 to 10% of our business. But I know on the threads on Facebook of the Pennsylvania vape shop owners, you know, they said, today I, you know, turn away 5. Another lady pops on and says, I turned away 10 customers. Mm. And again, it kind of sucks for that shop owner, like telling someone no that is addicted to nicotine. We know what it's like. Listen, my big problem with the Tobacco 21, even though it's a compromise and it may be a good thing, no one should be smoking. Don't even vape if you don't need to. But the thing is this, alcohol, I get. 21 years old, you may be more responsible, you know, because you could get in your car, drive home drunk, smash it, and kill someone. Okay, so you're holding someone else's life in your hands. But when you're smoking or vaping, that's your personal choice as an 18-year-old adult where you're harming your own body. So I don't agree with it in that sense, because it's not a responsibility thing. It's more of, you know, let's control people more is how I look at it. It's not good.
I touched on it. What was the official ruling about the flavor ban? I thought it was that they killed the idea of like the prepackaged flavored vape stuff from gas stations and convenience stores. That's no longer going to happen.
They are pulling from every shop, gas stations, convenience stores, or otherwise, any pre-filled pod, like a Juul pod that comes already filled with liquid, if it's any flavor other than menthol or tobacco, they will be deemed illegal after it goes into effect. Now, what's funny is this doesn't affect Juul much at all, because they already pulled their flavors many months ago, like they foresee this coming. I wouldn't be surprised if they had some inside information. But they pulled their products already, and their stock actually went up. Their business went up since they pulled them. So that proves right there flavors aren't the problem with kids. Not to mention, the recent polls show that the number one reason kids are vaping, curiosity. 56.1% curiosity, being kids. I'm curious. Friends or family members use them as 24%. And because they come in flavors, came in third at 22%. So the number one reason why these kids are using them are because of flavors. Now, will it help kids not using them as much if we ban the flavored pods? Yes, because now they're forced to come into a vape shop like mine and buy a bottle of juice to fill their own tank or their own pod, that's a refillable pod, to vape. They can't just buy the flavors at the convenience store where the guy made that.
It becomes like not a project, but there's a little bit of work that goes into it. It's not just pull it off the shelf, pop it in your mouth. Do you think the boost in sales for the Juul product is just because there was hysteria? Oh my God, they might be going out of business. They might be disappearing. Buy, get, you know, stock up now. I heard a lot of that toward the end of the year, and I almost wonder if that had a lot to do with it. Not so much boost in popularity of the product itself. The good news for you and local vape shop owners and people who vape, okay? If you're someone who doesn't vape and doesn't understand all this, there are, what do we count? I forget. Did you ever do the count of how many local vape shops there are, local businesses in Northeast PA? Because I was looking at one point. I stopped at like 10 or 11. And I know they're all over the place.
Yeah, there's quite a few. There's close to over 10,000 in the country. So we've got quite a few in PA. And PA is a tough shop, tough state to have a shop because of the governor's 40% tax on all vape products, you know, which we're okay with right now. They didn't ban us. Massachusetts is the first state to do a full ban on all flavored products, menthol and vape, signed into law, done. No menthol cigarettes, nothing but tobacco-flavored cigarettes or vape, and still a high tax. So they pretty much shut the industry down in Massachusetts. Which, again, I put responsibility on these politicians because somebody's going to go back to smoking cigarettes and they're going to die.
But when you sent me a text earlier, you mentioned PMTA, the pre-market tobacco application. Is that the flavored bands, like the prepackaged stuff we were just talking about?
It's a bit different. What happened was back in 2016, they pushed off the pre-market tobacco application process for all vape products and juices. They pushed it off until May of 2020. What that pretty much means is they all have to go through a process to be approved by the FDA, to be on the shelf, to be sold and consumed. They have to prove that these are a benefit to smokers, benefit to society, and if not, they'll reject it. Now, that process is very expensive. Every single bottle of juice and every single device that I have on my shelf, May 12th of 2020 will be deemed illegal. I will not be allowed to sell anything. So pretty much it's a death blow to the industry if the government doesn't find another way for us to do the applications because they want millions of dollars, a fortune. You know, it's very convenient. Only one company, two companies can afford billions of dollars.
So you feel, I mean, there's a real good chance that we're a few months away from you having to shut down anyway, even though these laws have kind of broken in your favor.
Yeah, we won the battle with the flavors for now, but we're far from winning the war. There's a big battle going on right now with how can you make this affordable for a small business in America to be able to stay open and not just let the billion-dollar companies take over the industry because they're the only ones that can afford to get the application process done.
Yeah.
So it's bad. Yeah, I would have to close my doors after May 12th of 2020. All vape shops, every one of them. I'm not just saying me. I'm saying there are maybe one or two juice companies other than your big Juuls and stuff that could afford, I believe Savage is one of them that started the process, that could afford all this money. We're talking about every single nicotine level of every single flavor of every single bottle of juice has its own SKU number. So they all have to be registered individually at like, what, $500,000?
How many,
SKU?
Pure ignorance on my part here, how many different, like if I was going to open a vape shop and Johnny Lucas was going to open a vape shop, what are the chances we'd all carry the same product? Or are there like hundreds and hundreds of different manufacturers of vape juice right now?
Well, that's the big deal over flavors getting, you know, crushed down is that there's thousands of juice manufacturers just in the U.S. They popped up everywhere when vaping got popular. Everybody wanted to mix their own juice, come up with their own flavors.
The reason I asked, though, is
that other shops have.
I was going to say, is it something that this could end up being a benefit for people where there could be some more, structure or guidelines for how it's manufactured? Maybe some of these people are making it in small places that aren't exactly the best locations. I don't know. A more controlled environment could lead to a better quality product. It might still be owned by Big Tobacco or whoever, but could it be something where you'd stay in business, but you just have to start selling their products?
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't have thousands of different juices. Back when this all began, when the FDA stepped in, they made all these vape juice companies submit their recipes and ingredients, get them registered. It doesn't even went through the PMTA. So the FDA does have on file all these flavors, every ingredient, like I said, down to a molecular level, we know what's in it. So no new flavors are supposed to be coming out over the last, I guess, 3 years now. So anything new, like if I wanted to go start mixing my own juice, I couldn't sell that. That'd be illegal. I would have to submit it to the FDA for approval.
It's like the moonshine days of prohibition. People are making their own stuff and you sell it, you get in trouble.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, look,
that's what will happen. You have a lot of do-it-yourselfers, and unfortunately, if they do it themselves, they might get the products from China. Who knows where? I don't know which country's trying to kill us, but yeah, the products could be tainted, and now vape juice kills people.
Well,
you know, I mean, it's possible. It's scary, but that's a possibility on the black market, and that's why Trump pointed out in the White House meeting, he said, I'll create a black market if I ban these flavors. They want their flavored vape juice.
But it sounds like they're going to be, if something doesn't change, it sounds like they're going to get them, but they're going to get them from the big companies who can afford to test it and mass produce it.
Yeah, because his wording was, we're going to pull them off the market, we're getting them back on as quick as we can. I think he was speaking more of the PMTA when everything has to come off the market in 5 months.
Matt?
So I just wanted to say, I found out this morning that Joe Biden just announced that he's all for full prohibition of all vaping in the U.S. He wants to outlaw it. I guess he's trying to get votes from the people that, you know, don't want vaping. So that's one guy I would vote for right there.
Well, now we made it political. Way to go, Matt. Now, look, we're going
to
talk. We'll talk again. I'm just kind of curious. Give me an update as to what's going to happen in May, because that would be, it becomes a much bigger story as we push toward May.
Well, yeah, if they change the process, if we come out with any new news about the process as we get closer, I'll definitely let you know.
Yeah, definitely. We'll keep in touch. Matt Llewellyn, Lean Back Vapes. May's looks like a potentially bad situation for vape shops locally. And hey, listen, Happy New Year. Good talking to you, and we'll catch up soon, okay?
Same.
All right, Matt. Thanks.
It's the Jason Barsky Show, WILK News Radio.
And radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.